Thank you for listening to the Content Magazine podcast, Conversations with Silicon Valley's Creatives. I'm Daniel Garcia, your host and the cultivator of Content Magazine, published by SV Creates. Today's episode is brought to you by the AC Hotel by Marriott at Sunnyvale Moffett Park, with 164 guest rooms and suites across 5 floors. Guests will enjoy a sophisticated patio experience and an outdoor fireplace and lounge that features tapas, local craft beers, curated wine list, and signature cocktails. Hi, welcome to the Content Podcast. I'm here today with Eva Rolandelli.
That's right, Eva Rolandelli, perfect.
Good pronunciation.
Very good.
Who is the founder and CEO of Ivaro Italia. And so she's here today to talk about her life and her career. So thank you for coming out.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, so we're here at the AC at Moffett Park, which is a great place, and we're drinking some great little...
Very colorful drinks.
Yeah, those are. What's your favorite color?
I think it's actually red, so that's close enough.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Yeah. Okay, that's good. Well, do you like black? I mean, your outfit
I like black, too. I go in phases. I like all different colors, but this is great. Yeah.
Cool. So, we've emailed a lot, and I think maybe I saw you at one event, but...
Yeah. I came to one of the...
The pick-up parties.
Yeah. It was really fun.
Yeah. And so, thank you. And I'm excited to talk to you and find out about your life and your career, because... Yeah. So, you grew up in Italy, in Florence.
In Florence, yeah. Right? I'm from Florence.
Yeah. And so it looks like you actually began your career to be more of an artist or a painter, mm-hmm. and you went to the
Accademia di Belle Arti. Yeah. That's how it's called, yeah.
Yeah. And you were doing painting? Is that the...
Yeah, I actually started painting. I was like 13.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, one of those, kids who were just... obsessed. I was like, I want to be an artist, and that's all I want to do.
Yeah.
So I studied painting, most of my life, and I was doing very kind of like detailed, hyper-realistic kind of huge, pieces, very large paintings, and then, a lot of mixed media, so collaging and oil painting on top.
Yeah.
And then I kind of got into performance a little bit. So I was working with textile, and then I was trying to do, I was doing mixed media textile on canvas.
Oh, yeah.
And then a whole like oil and gold leaf on the canvas. So very detailed work.
Yeah. So you started out, do you remember being, young and then having kind of like an influence for art? Was there artists in your family, or was it just kind of something you just kind of were drew to by yourself?
I think growing up in Florence is amazing. It's one of the most beautiful cities. There's art and, everywhere.
Yeah.
Like you walk and there's museums and paintings and sculptures, and I kind of absorbed all of that. And plus, my father was in the fashion business, so he had several stores in Florence. So I think a combination of all the art and his influence kind of helped me to kind of get where I am today.
Yeah. So now that you moved to New York, was that mainly to do art and painting at that particular time, or?
Yeah, I think I studied painting at the Accademia, and then I actually got a master degree in restoration.
Oh,
painting.
Really? Oh,
so
okay.
Again, very kind of rigorous work.
Yeah.
And I just felt like Florence was getting small. It was too small for me. I wanted to do something different and bigger. And so I was like 19, moved to New York, didn't speak a word of English.
Oh.
No, I could say hi, and I was really shy. So like I couldn't even say hi.
Yeah, right. You get nervous when somebody approaches you. Yeah.
And so I kept studying painting in New York, and then I got scouted by an agency. So I started modeling.
Yeah.
So I was modeling in New York, and then they kept sending me back to Paris and Milan, which is kind of interesting. So that's kind of where I started to do a lot of migrating, back and forth.
Yeah.
And never really stopped, because since then I've been kind of going back and forth.
But
I was doing painting, and then...
So that kind of gave way then to doing modeling. And were you still kind of painting, or... And did that, was the modeling then made you kind of think more in terms of the fashion? What was the kind of like progression from art and modeling into kind of fashion design?
It was amazingly like smooth and natural.
Yeah.
I think it was a combination of things. my father passed away about 10 years ago, and he had a pretty large business in leather in Florence. Mm. Then about the same time, I was diagnosed with Ehlers-Danlos, which is a chronic genetic condition, which limits mobility a lot. So many things I couldn't do anymore, including working on huge scale
canvases.
It was getting really hard.
Yeah.
So it was super natural for me to like thinking, what can I do with this enormous baggage I have and knowledge of art and fashion that, you know, I can still do and is exciting. So I started drawing garments, and that's how it kind of really became a business. It was like, it felt like I woke up one day and I was like, oh my gosh, I own a brand.
Yeah, that's like, cool.
Yeah. So I still paint a little bit, but I wish I could do it more. I have very little time.
Yeah. Yeah. That was what I was going to ask you, if you're still kind of doing painting. And
sometimes I do collages, like, you know, incorporating the designs into kind of abstract backgrounds, but I'm very busy right now, you know, so it's
running
like,
business in Silicon Valley and Italy. So okay, so then the transition was pretty easy, and you know, I feel like that connection actually between fashion and art in general is kind of like always kind of there. What's your kind of feel about how the two kind of connect and relate to each other?
I mean, to me, fashion and, you know, art are very similarly a wonderful way to express yourself. Yeah. And I was already working with textile in my work, in my painting. So it just felt super natural. I was starting to dress in myself and doing performance, and then just kind of went into design clothes. So, and I found it super powerful, and I had a lot of fun at the beginning. You know, I think the first collection were a little bit more out there, maybe extravagant. And then with the year passing, I'm kind of bringing back a lot of the values of my, you know, family business. So I'm kind of bringing back a lot of leather work. Everything I do is made in Florence. So I'm really attached to that tradition, and always keeping the quality at the top. You know?
How often do you travel back to Italy and Florence having
it depends. I would say maybe once or twice a year, you know, depending on what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
So then, you have kind of like two lines, right? You have Ivaro Italia, and then you have, I guess it's Ivaro Alta?
Alta Moda.
Alta Moda, which is high fashion, right? So that's kind of more the evening gowns, wedding.
Yeah.
Couture,
I think is where, you know, the Alta Moda is where I kind of express my creativity a little bit more, because then, you know, I have this image or, you know, I dream or I see something, I'm like, oh, I'm going to make it into, you know, something really interesting. So that's the kind of really fun line that I do. And we do mostly like red carpets or, you know, for clients. So we do like if they have to do an event, so we make a costume garment.
Yeah.
And then the Ivaro Italia is the line that we do seasonally. So we have spring and fall, about two lines per year.
Yeah.
Which is still kind of, you know, I still approach it in an artistic way. So I really think about a concept and then kind of come with the whole collection. But it's a little bit more wearable in a way and easy to kind of use, you know, in a daily life.
Yeah. So when did you actually launch Ivaro Italia? When did you kind of like begin that?
I began that like soon after my father passed away. And I believe we launched it, I believe, in 2016. In the U.S. Because I started in Florence, so it is very much a, you know, an Italian brand that only recently we started to do a lot of events in the U.S.
Oh, okay. So then, was that the name of your father's kind of like leather manufacturing, was Ivaro Italia?
No, so pretty much my father was doing only leather products, so all outerwear and handbags and shoes.
Yeah. And was he designing as well as?
Yeah.
Oh, wow,
and
cool.
I mean, his style was impeccable. That's where I got my taste, I think, for fashion.
Yeah.
Just amazing eye, you know, for what's the Italian style.
You know?
And my grandfather was also doing that. So it's very much a family. But then, you know, I wanted to do something different. So I really took the learning that, you know, he gave me and kind of transformed And I didn't want to just do leather, I wanted to do evening. And just now I'm kind of revisiting a little bit of that and really appreciating the leather as such an amazing, sustainable material. And that you can mold it and, you can, and it's so like elegant and durable. Like, you know, it's the opposite of fast fashion. Like you can have a coat or a jacket and it lasts like 40 years. Yeah. And I still have jackets that he designed, like,
you know. Yeah, how fun. Yeah, yeah.
That's so cool. I'm kind of rebringing back. We're doing a line of outerwear right now.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Well, I've noticed you too. I mean, you do jewelry.
We just started
accessories.
Doing jewelry. Yeah, I have a ring today. One of them.
Yeah. And then so then you're doing, you know, gowns and garments, dresses, jewelry, handbags, like an accessories, and even perfume.
The perfume. Yeah. Perfume was like a big success, unexpected. I was like, you know, full pandemic, I was like, I want to do something that I can, you know, bring to every woman's life to kind of make them feel special. And it was just gone, you know,
Well, now, and so, you have a store actually, is it in, it's in Stanford Mall or is it?
You know, right now we have a store, I mean, we have a store in Florence, but in the US we don't have a, we have a new boutique. So we sell online and then we work with events. So we work with other venues.
Did you used to have a boutique here, like in Palo Alto? I thought you had an actual physical brick and mortar.
No, I have a studio. I had atelier.
So
And then moved, and now moved to the Santa Cruz area because I just love nature. So I'm like immersed into the nature.
And so you think, so then you, so you moved to Santa Cruz. So are you, do you think that's changing? Has that changed even your winter and spring line for 2023, do you think? Has that influenced it a little bit?
I mean, I kind of grew up in outside Florence, so it's still very kind of, you know,
country.
I love nature. Like, it's the only way I can function, you know, mentally and physically. So it's not such a quite, you know, difference. Like, it's actually quite similar how I grew up. But certainly, like, you feel the winter and you feel the summer more than, you know, in the city for sure. So, definitely. And then, you know, just nature is a huge inspiration for me, huge.
Is that, I mean, like, is that where you go, like, say you're having kind of like, you have a deadline for your line or something like that. Do you go kind of like out into nature to kind of like get inspiration or what's your inspiration?
I feel like I don't have any shortage of, you know, inspiration in the sense I'm quite creative and I always goes back, you know, always goes back to Italy, to my, like, I feel like I have so much, you know, knowledge and I absorb so much culture when I, you know, growing up in Florence that always gonna come back some of that, plus incorporating, you know, whatever is going on in terms of, you know, contemporary life, But yeah, definitely I think nature is a huge part of Evaro Italia. So a lot of our shapes and colors and gemstones, you know, there's a huge reference to nature and, you know, it could be the woods or the sea or the ocean, depending what it is.
That's cool. That's good. So then for you, like having those different kind of like phases in your life from painting to modeling to now fashion design and, you know, owning a business. What do you think you, what has been kind of like the constant of who you are throughout those things? And what's something that you've seen change throughout those different phases?
I think a constant that I really try to kind of be true to, you know, the identity of the brand and who I am. So that's always been constant. And yes, I'm changing in the sense I'm maybe getting a little bit more, as happens with age, I think you kind of get attached to your roots, you know, somehow, you know. I'm maybe valuing the learnings from my family business and all the craft and the quality of production a lot more than I used to do. Maybe when I was younger, that I wanted to kind of break through the, you know,
you want to like prove and do your
own. I wanted to be a rebel, just kind of make, you know, the artwork that was, And now I'm like, you know, actually that was very beautiful and, you know, why not bring him back some leather, you know, products and outerwear and things like that.
Yeah, that's cool.
So.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's great. Well, let's see, let's, we do have to take a little break and have another little drink because we are here at the AC Moffitt Park.
These are really tasty, wonderful.
Yeah,
drinks.
I know. I've never had these before, so they're kind of. Mine is a sour cherry gin and tonic.
Hmm. Yeah, I like that they're not super sweet because I'm not a fan of sweets. So actually, very kind of Italian.
There you go. Perfect for you then.
Perfect.
Yeah. When it comes to your line, how would you describe Ivaro Italia?
Certainly elegant, I would say, and timeless, because you know we try to do pieces that kind of last in the wardrobe that don't just get used once and then tossed. Yeah. So and we try to have the top quality, so high quality and very elegant and refined pieces.
Yeah, that's cool. That's good. Yeah. What particular designers do you kind of like admire and aspire to be or something like that?
I mean, to risk into sound cliche, I think all the top Italian designers are pretty great.
Yeah.
I grew up, next door to Cavalli, Roberto Cavalli, was also a painter. So my father knew him. So love Cavalli. And Eva Cavalli, right? And his wife. And Valentino. I love Valentino. Always have.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah.
But I don't look at other designers anymore. I feel like I don't want to have too much influence, I don't look at trends. I don't look at, maybe I should, but I just try to do my own thing.
To be unique. Well, I think that's true. Like, there's a part of it when you're an artist, right? Your upbringing and your education is almost copying, imitating, but then you become like your own voice, right?
I think it's important because it's great to see what's going on in the world, but you don't want to imitate everybody else.
Now, I mean, the reason that I admire you and love what you're doing because of the quality and the elegance of the garments and stuff like that, but also too that here in kind of like the South Bay, Silicon Valley, there's not a lot of quality fashion designers and boutiques and brands. Mm. What's it like doing that here in Silicon Valley? What's the fashion scene for you here?
It's interesting. When I started doing events here, every single person was like, it's never going to work. Mm. You're not going to have any sales. You're not going to have any clients because everybody's so casual and doesn't care. Mm. And instead, we had like really good, positive, feedback, and we had several clients because I think there was that niche that was missing. There was that, and I feel like I don't know if we had anything to do with it, but I feel like the past maybe a couple of years, I see a lot more kind of couture and like high fashion shows in the Bay Area. So I think it's changing. I think people do enjoy to kind of get dressed up and go to the San Francisco Ballet or Opera or the galas. There's a lot of galas here and this type of events that we don't have in Italy. So I think there's certainly a need for beautiful kind of evening couture dresses.
So then with the Alta Moda and then just with Ivaro Italia. So are you trying to make something even for a little bit more of the everyday kind of like
Definitely. I think the Ivaro Italia line, the kind of ready-to-wear is always very refined, but it's also wearable. There's like little dresses and a lot of separates. We have, jackets and, kind of cohort, tops and bottoms. So you can kind of mix and match.
Yeah.
So they're always very elegant, but you can put a top and just put a pair of denim pants, So it's fun. I think people are enjoying that. And then of course we have now accessories. So those, women always love bags and jewelry, so we're selling a lot of products on those lines too.
That's good. Yeah. So then now, and then you're getting ready to launch your winter and spring 2023, right?
Spring summer. Yeah.
2023, and the name of that line is.
We do collections.
Yeah, the collection. Yeah.
Yeah, so the collection is called Rosa di Cristallo.
Okay, Rosa di Cristallo. Yeah, I saw it written, but I just wanted you to say it so that we
It has a lot to do with crystals and like the clashing between kind of natural shapes and kind of metropolitan style.
All right.
So there are some, you know, very soft lines and kind of very, you know, like long, you know, like very soft maxi dresses, and then some more tailored pieces.
Yeah.
And there's like, you know, some really bright kind of bold colors, which is, we don't do a lot, but, you know, we're having fun with, we just had a photo shoot with like, you know, this really bright color pieces in front of San Francisco, you know, city building. So it's quite of a contrast. It was fun.
Yeah. And then you're going to have a show for the collection, right?
Yeah.
And that's coming up in November, right? Mm-hmm. When is it? Where is it? What's going on with that?
So we had we previewed some pieces of the spring summer collection already, but we haven't showed the whole, you know, collection. So we're going to have, we're going to launch the El Prado fashion showcase. So it's going to be at the El Prado Hotel, which is a beautiful hotel downtown Palo Alto.
Yeah.
And we're going to launch the collection, and we're going to have some other brands as well, some Italian brands.
Oh, okay.
We have you know, Made in Italy shoes and menswear, and then a couple of cosmetic brands. And so it's going to be really exciting. We're going to have, you know, Italian food. So we brought together a little bit of Italy to the Bay Area.
Yeah. Oh, that's fun. Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be
maybe
great.
We have some of these.
Maybe we have some of
these. Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds perfect, actually. I believe El Prado just opened a new bar, a tapas bar. So they craft cocktails, which is going to be really exciting, I think, for the guests.
Yeah. It'll be a fun party. I'm looking forward to it.
I think so.
Yeah. That's cool. That's cool. So what's it like then? You know, preparing for that, preparing the collection and everything, like what's your life like these days?
It's a bit crazy. I think the challenge for me is because everything is produced in Italy.
Oh, okay.
And we do all the events, most of the events. This year we did some events in Italy, but it's mostly all in the US. So there's 9 hours difference.
Yeah.
So like people, you know, wake up in Italy and I want to go to bed. So it's just a little bit insane sometimes, you know, late nights, early mornings to kind of take care of all the production. And then, you know,
were you affected by like the supply chain and stuff like that?
I mean, Italy is already like a time zone on, you know, by itself. Like,
yeah.
You know, everything is, there's holidays and, you know, people just take off. Everything shuts down in August. It doesn't matter if your collection is not ready. It has to stop because people go to the seaside and that's it.
Yeah.
So you have to kind of, you know, play into that and kind of, it can be frustrating, but, you know, then you get the products and it's like, okay, it was worth it because the quality is so good.
Yeah.
But, you know, these days is a little bit crazy because we had shows in Italy and then we have shows now here. And we had to do, you know, photograph the collection, and then we're launching a new line, so a little bit hectic.
So what in all the hats that you get to wear with it in doing this, you know, as a designer and a owner of a line, what's would you say is your favorite part, would you say?
I think there's several things. I think I'm, because even when I was making art, I really enjoyed the kind of different, completely different steps that, you know, go from the creation of the piece to the last. And I think with fashion, it's probably why I feel like it's so natural for me, because it's very much like that. You know, you sketch and then there's like hundreds of other steps until the collection goes on the show. And then the show is ended in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And you worked 6 months on this thing, and it's 2 minutes, and, you know, that's it.
Yeah.
So it's quite amazing, but I love all the process, to be honest, from, you know, from creating and designing and then going into creating, you know, each piece.
Yeah.
And then, you know, what you're going to show first, what's the main piece, what's, you know, how to end it.
Put together the show, the coordination of the... And picking the models and the... all that stuff,
That's all good. Definitely, you know, as an artist, I think the drawing and the, you know, creation is probably the one that is probably my favorite part.
Yeah.
It also becomes kind of obsessive, you know, because as every artist, I think, you know, you get an idea, an inspiration, and then you can't sleep for like a week straight because you know, you're obsessed by that. So I get kind of crazy when I'm designing a collection. And then, you know, when it's done, it's like, ah, I've done it.
Yeah, yeah, that's cool. Gratifying. So, yeah. Yeah, that's cool. That's so, cool. In a collection, how many different kind of garments do you plan on having in our styles, would you say, that you try to go for?
Yeah, I think I tend to be over ambitious. And then at the beginning, I was like, you know, designing like 40 looks. And then I'm now no way. I also want, you know, I want to focus on quality and kind of really showing the concept in less.
Yeah.
Less pieces, and also less collection. You know, the thing of doing 4 or 5 collection a year is too much in my perspective. So I now try to do, you know, a couple of collection a year and maybe do, you know, they're more like capsule collections.
Yeah.
So maybe
10,
11 pieces. So very small.
Yeah.
Small collection.
And then when you do the collection and then you have it for sale, I mean, do you do more custom sizes, or do you actually then order, you know, like 50 smalls and 200 mediums, and, you know, do you order that kind of thing?
No,
or you do more of the custom?
Yeah, I don't do any large manufacturer. Like, everything is done in-house, which is, you know, people are like, are you insane? But a little bit. Like, we really focus on having, you know, the top quality and doing limited edition. So, you know, if someone says, can I have that? I'm sorry, sold out. You know, we really only have a few pieces.
Yeah.
And we do ready to wear, like, you can, you know, if you, there's several sizes, but we don't have, like, you know, 100 sizes and 100 pieces.
Yeah.
So we work a lot with custom. Yeah. So pretty much, you know, clients place an order and then we make the garment in Italy and we have them shipped, you know, to them directly, which is, I think, is quite special because you can have a garment that just fits you perfectly.
Yeah, totally.
And it comes from Florence, and it's
beautiful.
It's beautiful.
The craftsmanship and everything. The fit, that's real nice. Actually, I always do it when I find something that I bought and then I really like it and it fits well. I love it. I'm like, man, I should have got like 10 of those.
Yeah.
So going, you know, being raised in Florence, being in New York, now being in California, you know, like, why are you staying in California? Why won't you go back to Italy and live there?
I actually might at some point. Yeah, I have this kind of like emotional attachment to Italy. I think eventually I'm gonna want to
like
go back there.
Retire there or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I think. Like I said, like, you know, at the beginning of the career, like, I was just really fascinated with the United States. I have, you know, I have some contacts. I have some family in New York area. So I just really wanted to like experience the American dream, American life, you know?
Yeah.
So now it's like, I love it. I enjoy it. But I also like, I'm really attached to my home. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think eventually when things, you know, calm down, I might just move back there.
Yeah. What would you say, where do you find, what's the difference in cultures that you see from Italy to especially like California, especially the Bay Area here? What's some of the things, and, you know, positives and negatives, you know, both of them, just honest reflection.
Yeah, I think, there's a lot of different, I think the main thing for me is that Italy is as beautiful and kind of center on, you know, creative and center of art and culture. It can be a little bit stifling, you know, like it could be like, you can kind of feel suffocating. It's very much stuck in the past. So you can't really build a house that is not Tuscany yellow in Tuscany. You can get a fee, you get charged.
Okay. So it's almost like they're preserving
that culture
which is good.
It's why it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
But, you know, I remember being 18 and I wanted to paint my house purple in Florence. And my father was like, are you insane? You can't do that.
Yeah.
And I think that's why, I think is why I moved, because I wanted to have the freedom of doing something bigger, different, and, you know, more than that.
Yeah.
But there is a lot of creative working and living in Italy that are breaking those kind of like stifling, you know, rules.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of change happening. It's a little bit slower than here, I think.
Yeah.
In California, what's exciting is like the future, right? Is what's happening. So it's like the heart of technology and everything that is progressive, and so I found that really exciting and maybe is what fascinated me at the beginning for sure.
Yeah.
I think I enjoy both places. I think the Avaro, you know, line, it really kind of embraces both cultures. And it's why I think both markets really love our products, because they can see themselves in, you know, in the collection, because you know, there's some traditional elements and beautiful and glamour, but there's also some kind of modern contemporary pieces that can be worn, you know, today.
That's cool. Well, it's funny. I mean, in California, and that's the thing, is if you think of countryside and you feel like outdoors, I mean, California is
so nature beautiful. Is beautiful.
So beautiful. I mean, even when I travel, you know, and you see different things, like we were just in Portugal. Portugal is beautiful. And just like the miles of vineyards and stuff like that, like in Porto and stuff. But then still in California, you come back to California and the redwoods and it's beautiful. The coastline. It's
so beautiful. Yeah, the coastline. I'm in love with the ocean, so... This is a huge, you know, source of inspiration. So yes.
And so for you, what would you say, like, in your life, what's some of the, like, obstacles that you've kind of like faced? Maybe, you know, from having to learn English, being in New York, or, you know, medical conditions, and what's some other kind of things that you've kind of like had to deal with throughout your life?
Yeah, I think probably those two. Probably the main ones, I think. Kind of learning, you know, it's not so much the language. I think the culture has always been challenging. I think Italians are extremely warm and welcoming and wonderful. And, you know, here everybody's really focused on their career or their family. So it's a little bit harder, as, you know, many of my Italian friends here could confirm, to kind of fit in. Which I never really mind, because I never really wanted to fit in, which it makes me kind of strange. But in a wonderful way, I think it was, you know, it's been great having a chronic illness, not to care what people think, because that could really stop your life if you get self-conscious about that. So I think the fact that I'm an Italian and I have a chronic illness, I'm so nah.
You have a lot of
I'm very
individual.
Unique.
So
I mean, I think with my medical condition, it just really limits what I can do. So like a lot of traveling is hard for me. So all the, you know, fashion shows that are in different cities, it's always challenging. So I think that's been a huge challenge. Just to get as much accomplished as my colleagues or other designers, right? But at the same time, I found like really like a good challenge to have, because you need to focus on what you can do, right? Not what you cannot do. And I think that's valid for everybody. And so it kind of makes me focus, you know, I could do this and this and this. And I focus on that. So it kind of makes me going and kind of power me, you know? And I think that's the main challenge. I mean, I think working in high fashion in California is certainly different, because I think LA and New York are definitely more, you know, focused on that type of fashion. But I also find there's so much of it. You know, if you go to Los Angeles or New York, or clearly Europe, there's so many designers that do, you know, high fashion. It's been exciting here to people really like, you know, like, oh my gosh, I need to have, you know, an evening gown, and there's nowhere else to get it. So I'll come to you. So that, I think that's been a good challenge to overcome. And, you know, I feel like we did overcome that.
That's good. That's cool. What would you say for you, what is your kind of like the driving philosophy of life? Like, what keeps you going? Like, what's your, I usually say like your North Star, or what's your, like your mission as an individual, like what kind of keeps you focused and going?
A mission. For me, it's like, I just want to have, you know, as much as a fulfilled, I think, life that has as much creativity as it could possibly be fit in, you know, and just kind of do what I love, which is, you know, what I'm doing. And and also be kind of open to new ideas, new inspirations, you know, new cultures, and so I just I love, you know, I used to travel a lot, and then I kind of stopped doing that, but like I just love to kind of like, you know, see other cultures. I went to India, you know, those colors and just
and the food,
the food, just you know, just so much to take in. So love to do some more that, you know, maybe travel back to some, you know, Asia or other countries.
That's cool. So then, you must have always kind of had a little bit of an independent entrepreneurial spirit to leave, you know, to go to a foreign country without even speaking the language at 19. That's pretty bold.
It's very bold. I mean, I did have some family, so I wasn't completely alone.
So did you stay with family when you came to New York?
Or at the very beginning. Yeah. And then,
How long did it take you to learn English, would you say?
My funny, because my mother is actually half American.
Oh, okay.
But she never spoke English with me.
Oh, really?
Because my father couldn't stand the language. So I didn't, which is silly, but I never learned English growing up. But it maybe took me, I don't know, I would say a year.
Yeah.
And my English is not great still, but I think just speaking and,
When you're immersed in it, you start to pick it up quickly. Yeah. Well, the thing is that I find too, like, especially with languages, kind of funny, is like so many of the language are actually kind of like idioms in a way. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not like everybody conducts like all these individual creative sentences. It's pretty much like you learn like these phrases that are applicable to all kinds of different conversation in a way, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then it's funny because in New York, of course, you know, like I first week I moved there, I met a girl who was, you know, from Florence.
Yeah.
And then I believe I moved in one of my many, you know, I moved to the Italian part of New York.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So
yeah.
All my neighbors were Italian.
Yeah, so you can have that kind of slow crossfade into.
And even here in the Bay Area, I have a pretty large circle of Italian fans/friends who like follow the brand and come to all the events.
Yeah. I would imagine there's probably a lot of Italians that live here and because you're doing such great design with that connection to Florence, they must gravitate towards you.
Oh, totally. I think they're like, oh my, you know, like, oh, it's home.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's Italian style. So.
Yeah, definitely. That's good. That's cool. Yeah. Good. So then for you, what would, as you look at your career and life and the future, for you to say, I use this word, but I don't, but you'd look to say, like, this would be success to me. Like, what would make, and not, you know, what would be where you would say, like, oh, I have achieved what I wanted to achieve with my life? And what would that look like? What would that be?
It's hard to say. I think my idea of success has changed so much over the years that it's probably going to change about 10 more times. Knowing me, because I'm a Gemini, I change my mind a lot.
Okay.
I probably, you know, my dream is probably to have a really nice atelier in both countries be able to kind of have them. I mean, it's a silly dream to just have them go without too much in my involvement. Because right now I'm handling a lot. It's really hard to handle all the production and the shows and the team in the US and the team in Italy pretty much by myself. I have an amazing team, but you know, there's a lot I have to do. And it's becoming a little bit much.
Yeah.
So I think, ideally, I would like to kind of, you know, unload that responsibility.
You could be the founder and the designer, but then you have a CEO or someone who handles those things, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Is that package arrived? Is the fabric arrived? It's someone else to do that.
Yeah, I have an assistant here and assistant there, but, you know, it's still a lot to handle, especially because of the different times. And timing of things, like, you know, Italy is very slow and chilled, and so it's hard to get things done. I have to be honest, it's challenging, and it's like the seamstress, she's in vacation for 1 month. It's like 1 month? It's a long time.
That's funny. Actually, when I was doing photography, I went to Italy, and I was surprised, like, I showed up and I didn't think about it, but it was like a holiday.
It's always a holiday.
I couldn't get to the bank and stuff like that. And all these kind of things, like, what?
Yeah,
it was really kind of,
I know. And people were like, should I go to Italy for Christmas or August? I'm like, no,
don't. Everything's shut.
There's nothing there.
Which you have to appreciate though, right? You have to appreciate the lifestyle where you take time off and you can enjoy.
And I think it's why, you know, things are so beautiful, because people are just, when they do create, they really have, you know, all the, you know, involvement and creativity and attention to it, because they had such a relaxed.
I heard someone say something like, you know, you don't work You don't work to relax or to have recreation. You have recreation to work.
Yeah,
right?
I think it's what they say is that you don't in Italy, you know, you don't work to live. You live to, you know, the other way around.
Yeah.
But in America, you know, people kind of work all the time, and in Italy, don't.
They focus on
their life.
Yeah, to get to the weekend to like. Let go and whenever the other kind of, I mean, the better way is to like the weekend is your restoring, and then you bring that creativity with you into the week
rather than
I just want to get to the weekend. Which we all want to get relaxed. That's cool. So then for you, like the success would be to have the business to run where
by
you
himself.
Would right of course. I mean, that's everybody. Yes. Yeah, that's great. Well, good. I hope you
it's a little bit unrealistic, but you could get it.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. So you have a show coming up. It's November. What's the date of the show so people can be a part of it?
November 13th.
November 13th at El Prado.
El Prado Hotel. It's in the ballroom, so it's going to be a beautiful space.
Yeah. And is that I imagine it's limited space and stuff like, so they need to go to your website or to do that?
Yeah, so you can go to ivaro.it/news and we have our events there.
Okay.
And then the event page brings you to the Eventbrite, which is where you can get tickets to attend. We have limited attendance.
Yeah.
So yeah, we try to get people to get tickets in advance.
Yeah, that's good.
But it's exciting. I mean, it's a different formula than a fashion show, you know, the regular fashion show that you just go and there's like 25 designers, loud music. You know, it's not at all like that. It's more intimate. It's a showcase. So the guests really get to learn about each piece, how it was created, how it's made.
Yeah.
And then after, there's a sales event. So they get to, you know, they can shop or they can try the garments they've seen in the show.
Yeah.
They could make an order. So it's a little bit more, I think, engaging, you know, than a normal kind of really crowded fashion show.
So
we've been doing a lot of these events. I think it's more European style. So when I was working in Paris, they had a lot of this type of kind of showroom, showcases, shows. And I found them a lot more, you know, it's better to highlight the collection than having a huge event. Yeah,
that's cool. That's good. Well, I'm thankful. I'm glad that you're here because I feel like sometimes here, definitely in the South Bay, there's kind of like a void of fashion. It's quality design.
Yeah.
And even sometimes I feel like people say, oh, like I'm a designer, but then they're doing just like a graphic tee. And I'm like, okay, you bought the t-shirt. You didn't even design the shape of the shirt. So
I think it's the same for art, right? Like everybody is a photographer or an artist these days because they have an iPhone.
I think
fashion is similarly, you know, there's so many type of fashion.
But that's
great. I found, you know, all of it is exciting.
Yeah.
There's room for, you know, and for everybody, every kind of artistic expression.
That's cool. Well, and fashion, congratulations. I mean, to do it's a big endeavor to, you know, design and to source the fabrics and to, you know what I mean? It's a big endeavor. So congratulations on your success.
Thank you.
And we look forward to seeing more and working with you more.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you, Reva. Find out more about Eva and Ivaro Italia, go to Instagram at Ivaro Italia. Also, visit the website ivaro.it. And follow the links in the show notes to reserve your ticket for Ivaro Italia's Spring-Summer 2003 collection on November 13th at El Prado in Palo Alto.
Thank you for listening to the Content Magazine podcast. Follow us on social media at Content Mag. Become a member and help us to continue to tell the stories of the South Bay's creatives. This episode's music is 408 by Jack Pavlina. Follow him on Spotify and also on his Instagram at Jack Pavlina Music.